So, gentlemen, we are live, minus Sebastian, who is out today. It is man flu day. He's got a cold. And I think, Igor, judging by your voice, you're sniffling slightly as well. Is that a fair assumption?
Yes, it is. I am much better than yesterday, but yeah, I got a cold, I think on Saturday, and I'm dealing with it.
Cold or COVID? I mean, this is the
Cold.
fundamental question these days. You just
Yeah.
can't get a cold or a flu. You've got to ask, is it COVID or is it the flu?
Yeah, I think it's a cold
You
because
think
I don't have any symptoms.
you don't have any other symptoms? Okay. So I'm just speaking of the weather because it's a nice entry. The wonderful temperature that we have here in eastern France is about 2 degrees above zero. There is a
Oh, wow.
biting wind outside. So can you totally depress me now, gentlemen, and just tell me, Ritesh, what's it like in Bangalore today? You're sitting in a blue t-shirt. Can't be that warm.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's 21 degree here, and
21
it's not
degrees.
temperature because other parts of country we are seeing the winter, but in Bangalore it's normal weather, so it will be slightly 2-3 degrees up and down.
Okay, so crossing half the planet, Isma, hot on the Paraguayan border. It's what time is it over there now? 1 o'clock in the afternoon, lunchtime. You have to unmute yourself.
20 past 1 p.m. and
20 was
here
one.
we have 32 degrees Celsius.
32 degrees. Okay, well, you've
Yeah,
got two.
we have only 34 degrees more than you.
Only.
Only. Wow.
That's too many. Can you export some degrees to us, please,
Yeah,
Isma?
maybe I can send around 20 or
Okay.
18
You
per year.
have my email address. Just send them to me, and then maybe I was speaking to Natalie in Seoul this morning, so 6 or 7 hours ago, maybe longer, and it's minus degrees there, so they're really getting into winter. So I think Isma, if you would be generous in the degrees of Brazil, send a packet to us in France and send a little packet across to Natalie in Seoul, and we'll both be very thankful for this.
How much is the temperature in Seoul?
She was in, I think, -2, -3, which is still not really that cold for them. They go to -18, -19 around January. So anyway. Okay. And Igor in LA.
It's 16 degrees right now,
That
sunny.
is that's
Yeah,
cold. That is
quite
cold.
perfect. Yeah, but that's my optimal temperature.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So
Yeah, just some interesting fact. I was in the north of California 3 days ago, and when I woke up it was -2 as well. So that's very interesting how traveling 6 hours south changes completely. Like, yeah.
So that's a beautiful segue to this topic of ours today. So this story that hopefully we're going to hear this afternoon or this evening started 10 years ago for Igor, and he shared it with me in February of this year. And Igor told me of a family that lives in California, and he spent a year there. And I have to say, I listened to it again just a few days ago. It is still breathtaking to hear how Igor describes this family and the uniqueness of this family. I'll attach the link to the transcript. I really recommend you listen to that. And when Igor told me a few weeks ago that he was going to spend Thanksgiving with this family, it sort of became glued to my brain. It wouldn't go away. And then when I asked Igor, would he like to talk to us about it this afternoon, this evening, this morning, he was a little cagey. Oh, we'll see, maybe, I don't know. And I said, come on, Igor, I need this story because this is so wonderful.
Yeah, so that's Igor, my job. That's my job. Great expectation, yeah.
Yeah, bloody marketers. So Igor, let the magic roll. You have a good 40 minutes to entertain us with Becky and Uncle Pete, no, Mr. Pete, and so on and so forth, as they all are. Tell us about your Thanksgiving together with Mari and this wonderful family. What happened?
Okay, let's do it. It's a crazy story. Sometimes it's hard to believe, actually, that I came back. That's a very crazy thing to think about. I'm going to share my screen because I organized some pictures to make it more
wonderful,
visual, right?
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And by the way, it was very delightful to put the pictures together because like I was remembering the things that happened and how good was the experience. So that's a good exercise. Maybe I'll do that more times, like to just create presentations to myself and so I can organize my thoughts. I read someone giving that tip once. I don't remember who, but
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was a very popular YouTuber. Like he mentioned that a way to keep memories is to once a year, he go through his Google Photos.
Mm.
And I always click the wrong button. He goes to his Google Photos app and he kind of delete pictures. So he just keep the pictures that bring him some joy and also help him to remember stuff. So that's a great tip, actually. I maybe you do that. Mm. Yeah, just think out loud.
So in the olden days, we called these things photo albums. Do you know what a photo album is, you young lot over there?
My mom has a few.
Has a few, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so this looks like a young version of you. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So I'm going to tell a story, but feel free to interrupt me and make questions. Actually, that's good when it happens. But I want to start with this picture because it's a very important picture. First, because it's rare. Like I spent 1 year in Petaluma, Northern California in 2013. And I would say I have less than 10 pictures. Like it's a rare picture. I didn't bring my camera. People didn't have a lot of cameras back in the time. Seems like we are talking about hundreds of years ago, but it was like 10 years ago. People didn't have that much smartphone as they have today. I didn't have one for sure. My first one was like in 2016. So I don't have many pictures from this period. And that's a very cool picture because it's in November of 2013.
Okay.
So in November of 2013, I woke up around 5 a.m. Between 4:30 and 5 a.m. I would put my jacket, my jeans, my boots, and I would herd the cows. I would like go to the field and put the cows together so I could milk them. It was November, and by that time, I was already very autonomous in the farm, so I could do basically everything by myself. So I was alone in the barn. It was like 6 a.m., something like that, because I had I borrowed a camera from Becky's, which was my host mom, and I took that picture because I wanted to register that moment.
Okay. Can I just interrupt you? We need to proceed. Is that part of this story actually starts in Brazil, back home, where you actually studied dairy, dairy farming, dairy engineering, whatever it is called, so that you were actually taking your first career steps, as it were. Yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah, sometimes I forget that my career is kind of crazy and I have to explain people context.
Yeah.
Because, you may think, what the hell are you doing in a dairy farm? But yeah, that's a good point. So yeah. Back when I was 19 years old, 18 to 19 years old, as every teenager in the world, I had to take a decision what I would study in university, right?
Mm.
And at that time, I think I did the exam to enter college in Brazil to study literature. And I got the grade I needed, but I also, because my dad heard about this dairy technology course that people would get employed before finishing the course, and the course just lasted 2 years. My dad told me about that, and I liked the idea of like having a paycheck within 2 years, and I did the exam as well, and I also got the grade I needed. So I had to make this decision. And fortunately, like very fortunately, that's probably the best decision I did in my life.
Yeah.
I chose to study dairy technology. And then before finishing the course in 2011, one teacher was like saying about his career in the classroom, and he mentioned that he worked in the United States. Actually, he worked in a winery in the United States. Through this program, which is called CAPE. They still exist. And mm-hmm. I liked the idea. And then I did all the process, like all the paperwork and the visa, everything. And I got to the dairy farm by March of 2013. So that's my first job in dairy technology. That's the context.
You're not looking particularly happy there that morning, or is that just the teenager sullen look of the 2000, early 2010s?
Well, I would say at that time, I was very young and I was very self-oriented.
Mm.
So maybe I just wanted to pass confidence that I knew everything about life and the universe.
Mr. Super Cool, yeah?
Yeah.
Douglas Adams says hello, yeah?
Yeah. So that's okay. The context.
Okay. That's
now,
what we'll... Mm-hmm.
So I'm here. I woke up 5 a.m. I started walking and I took that picture. Now jump to November 2023. Here I am again in the same bar doing the same thing, that time with my boss. This is Pete. We call him Mr.
This is
Pete.
Mr. Pete. Okay.
Yeah. Like he's a very curious person because he doesn't have a smartphone. He never used the internet. Like his life, he was born in the farm and he always worked in the farm doing the same thing. Like that's not exaggeration. Like he has been doing the same thing all his life, like exactly the same thing. This barn is the same bar that they used when he was born. So, and like, although he has this kind of, in quotes, like very huge quotes, boring life, what we would say it's a boring life. He's a very smart guy. Like he understands a lot of things about nature, about mechanics, electronics, hydraulics. He's way smarter than me. Like I work with technology. I can read and talk to computers, but I'm very dumb when I am with him because he knows a lot about the world that's around us. So he's a very interesting person. He's very kind as well. And I asked them to work in the farm because I wanted to live this experience. Mm-hmm. I wanted to like do the same thing I did 10 years ago, but as a different person, like literally a different person, like basically out the cells of my body, maybe not the brain, not the neurons, but basically all the cells of my body were different. So I am a different person with different experience. And mm-hmm. there I was doing the same thing. And Mari took this picture, which was very nice because now I have it, this comparison.
So you have not lost the ability to go dairy milking. You retain this skill. It's like driving a car. Once you know how to drive a car, mm-hmm. you don't really lose it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wasn't expecting that. But once I started to, because there are like buttons here, as you can see, mm-hmm. there is one panel, and there's like this dance inside the barn, because the process it's like you bring a cow, you pull this button, you're gonna mm. open the gate, right?
Mm.
The gate where the cows are waiting for. Then you're gonna pull that cord and it will open the gate and the cow will come through. once the cow comes through, you have to close the gate. So you push, no, you pull, no, yeah, you push back the bottom button.
Mm.
Then you clean the cow, you wait a few minutes. While you wait till you are cleaning other cow, you do something we call pre-dip, which is a cup with chloride that you emerge the teats of the cows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you wait a little bit, you clean, you put the machine come out, you do a pause dip with iode. Then you open the front gate, you open the back gate, pull the car. That's a dance. And it was very embedded in my brain. I didn't have to think. It was very interesting because it was like on me, you know, like actually they got very surprised that usually Pete is working alone by nowadays. He doesn't have helpers. So he would take like 4 hours to make all the calls. And with me, it took 2 hours because I was fast as I was in 2013. In 2013, I was already now as a fast guy. Okay. Because I am usually agile, and then they got, oh, you didn't change actually. So because we got to milk in 2 hours.
So looking at I have to call him Mr. Pete because this is how we talked about him back in February of this year. He's posing a little bit for the picture here, but I think he seems to exude a fairly happy demeanor. He seems to be quite happy in his life and in his being. Does that still exist?
Yes. That's something that makes him a very interesting person as well. Like, he's totally fine with his life. Like, I never saw him complaining about anything. Like, in 1 year living with him, I never saw him complaining about one thing. I saw him like in a bad mood like 2 or 3 times in 1 year, you know. And usually it's something related to cows, you know, like some cow is like giving me trouble. He's very happy with his life, which is for me, it's a puzzle, right? Because I am this guy, a modern adult that use Instagram and are always thinking on what I'm gonna do next weekend, what I'm gonna do with my life, how I will make my life amazing. And then I meet Pete, who is very happy the way he is. Like he doesn't want to have an amazing life. He doesn't have anything that he doesn't have now, right? So he's a lesson that I'm still figuring out. But he's very quiet, so it's hard to he won't give you advice. You know, you have to talk to him and kind of read what he's saying without saying. Yes, so he's a character. A character from a movie.
How old is he now?
He's 64.
54?
60.
64, so he's just 2 years older than I am. God, he looks younger.
Yeah.
Oh, this must be the secret. Milk cows and stay forever young. Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, we are laughing because he drinks milk when he eats. Like, he's eating lunch with a big glass of milk in front of him.
So it doesn't get much fresher, does it?
Yeah, no, it doesn't. When I was working here in 2013, I used it to, because we in that farm, they don't eat breakfast. It's like they just don't eat. They wake up and they go to work. And I kind of did the same when I was there. And I would go out with a mug with just the chocolate powder on it. And when I was milking the first cow, I would like milk it on my mug and drink hot chocolate, warm chocolate. Yeah, it was. And I got so strong. Okay, I'm not a nutritionist. I don't understand anything about chemistry. But from experience, like in 2013, I was so strong, like really fucking strong, right? So I was very strong, much stronger than I am today, even though I am more fit now. Like I feel more fit than 2013, but in 2013, I was very strong. And I think milk is a factor on that because I would just drink milk. The water in the farm tastes very bad. I don't know why. Just tastes bad. Mm-hmm. And I would drink just milk.
There's the moral of the story. Drink milk and stay strong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
So this... Today, I'm going to share my story. Again, feel free to interrupt me. I I don't want it to be a monologue, so feel free to just interrupt me and let's have a conversation. It's supposed to be about Thanksgiving. It's kind of is, but I think has a more deep meaning for me. So yeah, I'm glad to share my story. This is a picture Mario took. This is our dog, by the way, Zoo.
Ah,
yeah.
All the way, so a well-traveled dog, all the way from Curitiba right up to Northern California.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Actually, he's even more south. Like he's from Blumenau, is the it's more in the south than Curitiba. Mm. So yeah, he has traveled than most of human beings.
It's an international dog now, and more and. Much cultivated than the majority of Brazilian dogs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He is. That's crazy. And he's like he's a rescue dog. So Mari rescued him when he was already old, like 7 years old.
Mm.
So he's just very chill. He's like a Buddhist monk. Like he's amazing.
We were talking about blogs and writing experiences before we went live. So maybe your dog would like to somehow note his experiences from a dog perspective.
Yeah. We say he is the one actually enjoying most the United States because he hates rain. Like he doesn't want to go out in rain. In dark, he doesn't want to go out. And Los Angeles is always sunny. And nice. Yeah. So he's like living his dream life, you know. He go and pee everywhere, he poops everywhere, he's always happy.
It's a dog's life. Ritesh, you've got a comment coming, Ritesh?
A question, Igor.
Yeah.
Your dog already speak English? I bark in English or
like... We wonder that. We wonder that. So that was the first time. We have been here for 4 months, and it was the first time that he actually interacted with other dogs because they had 2 dogs in the farm. That's one of them.
Because the animal's noise is different from country to country, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. So here he is with the cows. There's another good picture of him I'll show you guys. But yeah. That's just a representative photo of the story I'm going to tell. I'm telling.
It looks nice and green. Is this an early morning shot or in the afternoon? What time of the day was this picture taken?
I think it's afternoon. It's afternoon. Yeah. In the morning, it was very cold, so it was everything frozen.
Okay.
And the cows are up. Usually in the morning, they are all down.
Yeah.
Laying down.
Mm.
Yeah, so Thanksgiving, that's not my picture, of course. I just searched on Google. Usually people relate Thanksgiving with food, but I thought it would be a good idea to give a context because that's not a holiday elsewhere. I think they just exist in the United States. Mm. So here in the United States, that's maybe it's the biggest holiday. Like some people say it's bigger than Christmas and other people say Christmas is bigger than Thanksgiving, but it's... Like it's the top two, it's in the top two biggest holidays in the United States. So people gather, it's a family gathering. It's very important to be family gathering. Like my girlfriend's teacher, she was inviting Mari to spend Thanksgiving with her. And Mari told her that she already had some plan. And then her teacher said, But you are going with a family, right? Like it's very important to be, you spend Thanksgiving with family. That's a priority of Thanksgiving. And then you're going to have a lot of food. Like that's completely overwhelmed with food. That's important as well. There are very typical dishes. I'm not a food person, as you guys know. So I kind of don't remember names and stuff. I just ate a lot, but I don't have emotional relationship with food, so
Igor,
I don't.
That thing in the middle is called a turkey.
that one I remember.
Okay, yeah. Just to interrupt you, Ismail, you've got a question.
You guys, do you have an idea how many turkeys are killed in Thanksgiving in the United States?
I don't have an idea.
Quite a few. Do you have a statistic? Yeah. Do you have a statistic? I mean, I know the American president always pardons two. So whatever the number is, minus two.
Yeah. I think the number is a little exaggerated, but I've read that is more than 80 million of Turkeys are killed in
probably 80, yeah.
80 million Turkeys, that's more than
the population. 80 millions.
Yeah, 80.
Yeah, I think it's too many, you know.
That's more than the population of France, just to put that into context. Yeah,
I believe that's the accurate number, because like as I mentioned, everyone does Thanksgiving, and the turkey is the main dish. So that's like you won't find in Brazil. Christmas used to be like that. Now at least my family nowadays, people kind of don't make the point of having turkey, but United States on Thanksgiving, like. Turkey is like if you don't have turkey, you don't have Thanksgiving. So I think that's accurate number. And United States has over 3 million inhabitants, so makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, I did some research because I'm doing a presentation and I take it seriously.
Thank you very much. We are honored.
The origin it's from the 16th. 21 the year 1621 it's basically they consider it the point where Thanksgiving started, because two Native American groups they met to share food and thank each other, because they would to be enemies, but they had this conciliation. I don't remember actually. It's Pilgrim and Ampanoag, the number, the name of two tribes that don't matter. But then they met, this date somehow got registered, and since then, Americans celebrate Thanksgiving. Of course, marketing is here to make things become a commercial stuff, right? So in the beginning of last century, Macy, which is this very popular brand in the United States, they started to use Thanksgiving to sell stuff, right? Yeah, because we have to sell stuff, guys.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
And then it became like this huge holiday in which you would feel guilty not to be part of, which is a marketer's job, right?
Yeah.
So that's the context I would like to give about Thanksgiving. So it's a huge holiday. It's not like just a holiday. It's like a huge holiday compared to Christmas, and sometimes even more important than Christmas.
And just to put a political dimension to all of this, the United States was facing a governmental closure because the budgets were running out, the funding was running out, and they had to raise the debt ceiling. And the Speaker of the House of Representatives actually managed to get this, get a bill passed through to extend the funding of the government until I think February of next year for one particular reason. If you have a strike or a problem with the federal government, or the federal government has a problem of any size or magnitude, it's going to have a tough time after that. That's how important Thanksgiving is to the American people. Yeah.
Yeah. And an interesting fact about Thanksgiving as well, like the Black Friday, which is, I think nowadays it's huge in the world. Do you guys have Black Friday in India, Ritesh?
No, we don't celebrate here Black Friday. No?
Yeah, so we have like Black Friday, at least in the Western world, like it's very popular, every country has, which is, it's the last Friday of November, which supposedly stores, they will give you a huge discount. And I use the word supposedly because in Brazil it's fake. Like they hire the price before and then they lower the price to the normal price on Friday. But United States, you still get very good deals. It's still like a legit thing in United States. And then Black Friday happens on Thanksgiving happens on Thursday, and Black Friday starts on Friday. So what a lot of people will do, nowadays they don't do that much because people buy on the internet. But when I was back there in 2013, what a lot of people would do, they would have the Thanksgiving dinner, they would jump in their car and drive to the store. So they would be in line to buy stuff. That's a very American thing, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So commerce, yeah, just a
celebration and celebration and commerce. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's the way we did. We are here in Los Angeles, right? And we drove about 6 hours north. The trip took longer, took almost 10 hours because we would stop, we would chill out. We wasn't in a rush.
Mm.
But that's the way we did. We did this. We could go from the coast, but we decided to go here because we kind of are like we see beaches all the time, right? But we don't see desert mountains all the time, so we choose to go from the countryside. So we would see mountains, deserts, which was a very pleasant drive. I really recommend. Beautiful drive. Something funny that we never experienced before, like you have those roads that they are like a straight line for 50 miles, which is like 75 kilometers, 100 kilometers, like straight lines. And Mari was driving, I don't drive. And Mari was kind of upset because she was feeling asleep because you didn't have to pay attention. You would just like be in a straight line forever. That's a curious thing.
Yeah, and traffic probably not being that heavy either. Yeah, so the interstates are wide and empty. Yeah, even in California.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of getting crowded by the evening, but then we left very early. We left at 5 a.m. We went at 5 a.m. and when we came back, we woke up at 5 a.m. as well. So when we got to the destination, it was before the start of evening. But yeah, we saw pictures of like the traffic being very crazy at the evening, like 6, 7 p.m. was already very crazy because of the holidays. This is Becky. So this is my host mom. Yeah. I would need like at least 2 hours to talk about her. So I kind of jump her bio, but she's my host mom. I consider her like my second mom because she's a person I admire in many aspects, and she's very welcoming. So Mari, my girlfriend, that was the first time Mari, of course, knew about Becky, but they never met before. But they got along very well because Mari likes to talk, Becky likes to talk, and I like to listen and eat. So I would be like quiet eating stuff, and they would be like blah 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 blah. So Becky is very welcome. She's a very welcoming person. So she did like homemade pizza in the night we got there, which was very satisfying.
So how many kilos did you put on that weekend or on that?
Well, I didn't track, but I would say at least two, like no jokes, 2 kilos. Yeah.
Yeah. Isma, yeah. Question.
Igor, does the couple have a kid or maybe some employee to help them in the farm?
They don't. So what, like a brief summary of the farm when I was there in 2013, they were having like financial problem because the price of the creamery, like the factory that makes cheese, butter, etc., they would pay like a very low price for milk. So when I was there, they went organic. And I was part of the process of selling the conventional cows and buying the organic cows, teaching the cows and everything. And so far they have been organic, and since they have less cows, they have like 100 cows, they decided to do by themselves. So they work more, but that's just the way they want to do that. Like they are working more, but they don't want to have employee because having employee in California, it's very tricky. It's not easy to find. And bringing exchange student as I was, it's a workload for Becky because she has to take care of the guy and drive him everywhere. So they, for now, they want to have in the future again, but for now they choose not to have. It's just Pete, Brittany, which is the dogger of the couple, and Becky. Those three take care of everything.
So has the switch to organic farming been financially successful for them?
Yeah, it has been. Pete told me that last year they were in trouble because the creamery that they would sell the organic milk decided to pay conventional price. And as a farmer, like you don't have that much choice, right? So you produce milk and then you have to sell the milk the next day. You cannot stock milk. right? So it's hard to, you don't have too much autonomy. So they would be like that last year, like having the high cost of producing organic milk, but they would get paid for conventional milk. Okay. But this year they changed. They got a new, they call it, I think it's, I think that's very charming. They call it home. So they found a home to the milk. They use that term. So they found a new home to the milk, and they are kind of better financially.
Okay.
And something that's happening now, according to back in California, that now there is a certification that you can sell raw milk. And raw milk is very expensive. So they are going through the process of getting this certification, which will make them in a better place as well.
Good for cheese making.
Yes. Oh, my God. I brought like 1 gallon, which is almost 4 liters of raw milk. So you guys can outside like milk. That's a picture I took in the next morning. So I woke up very early because I wanted to feel the place, and it was beautiful. Like the fog was down, the cows was walking in the field, it was very poetic. So I was walking around and I took this picture. They have, as a curiosity, they have just Jersey. So Jersey is this breed of cow that produce less milk than the conventional cow, which is the black and white cow that everyone knows. But they have more fat. And the creamery who buys the milk from them, they prefer high fat milk because they make cheese and butter. So they will pay more for milk. If you sell your milk for a creamery that actually just pack the milk, so they will just put in bottles and sell the milk, it's better to have other breed because they will produce huge amounts of milk and they don't care for fat percentage because they will standardize for 3%. So like if being 5% or like being 4 or 5% doesn't matter because they will just standardize for 3%.
So how much milk do they actually produce?
They produce it. It is 1,100 gallons.
So 4,400 liters.
Yeah, per day.
Per day.
Yep.
Per 4,400 liters a day.
Yeah. They milk twice. They milk twice. So in the morning and the afternoon, and they have around 100 cows. Yeah.
Wow.
So
So transporting this milk to the creamery must actually be quite a logistical undertaking. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have a tank which refrigerates the milk, keeping the milk cold in the farm. So when you milk the cows, the milk goes straight to this tank, and every day or each 2 days, the creamery truck will come. So they don't have to transport. The truck will come to the farm and pump the milk in.
Okay,
so that's a picture. In the same day, we decided to explore, and it was an important moment in our lives because we are living in Los Angeles and we are kind of overwhelmed by the craziness of Los Angeles. And then Mario was driving and we were kind of, let's go to this road. We didn't have a plan. And we started to explore very small towns, like which are located in the middle of forests, like redwood forests in California. And we was like completely delighted by how calm and beautiful and peaceful those towns were. So that's an important moment for our lives, because if we choose to live in the United States, there, I want to live in a place like that, right? Very calm, like you are 20 minutes from the huge city, so you are not that isolated. This one is called Casadero, which is a hippie town. They call it hippie town because there are a lot of old people who like hippie old people. And as you guys can see in the map here, it's like right in the middle of a forest. Like you have one road, like a lot of curves and turns. And then you have Casadero. So I just wanted to share because it's very delightful to go through those small towns in North California if you guys ever get the chance.
Igor, this is a sign that you're getting old.
Yes, for
you
sure.
You want to ditch the big city lights of LA for small town America with mom and pop shops and the whole spiel. The next thing you'll be doing is watching Hallmark TV, probably. Yeah, because they set all their stories in these quaint little American towns, most of which actually are in Canada, but that's a different story.
Yeah, I agree. I'm getting old. I'm totally fine with that. I had my moments in my life that I wanted to live in a big city, but like it has passed, definitely.
Well, we can talk about village life.
Yeah, I know. So those two pictures, like, yeah, it's from the up the hill, the farm. So all this is the farm. So you have like two barns here, one barn here, a lake. That's zoo, of course. This is Mari. We went to see the sunset. It was beautiful. This is another picture in another place we were. I thought it was fun because Zoo is like totally distracted. he was kind of upset because we had him in leashes, and he was kind of, I don't want to talk to you guys right now. I need my time.
It's an idyllic countryside, isn't it? Isma, you have a question.
Hey Igor, you told us that you are very worried about how food and you are eating French fries.
Yeah. Did I say I'm worried with food? I'm definitely not worried with food. I eat everything that you put in front of me.
But here on the floor, you are eating French fries.
Oh yeah, I love French fries.
Okay.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, that's my philosophy. It's wrong, but it's good enough to convince me that I can eat trash food, right? So I can eat anything I want, but I will exercise and practice sports. So that's my philosophy, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that's right, that everyone should do it, but I feel good with myself because I'm eating French fries, but I'm thinking, oh, Monday I will be killing myself in the gym, you know?
we have a sort of a saying here in France, which goes translated, everything is possible in moderation.
In my case, I wouldn't say it's moderation, it's like I overeat and I overexercise, so they get in balance, but it's over, you know?
But you're looking happy with your French fries. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this forest behind, we took this picture in a very good restaurant, like with outside tables, when we were going to a place called Armstrong State Park, which is a redwood forest. Redwoods, I don't know if they have in other parts of the world, but in California, in North California, they are huge. Like there are a lot of forests of redwoods. They are very complex environments because redwoods, like this tree, as the name suggests, is kind of red, the color, and they are very resistant for fires. So in California, there are a lot of fires, like natural wildfire, right?
Mm.
But those redwood forests, they survive because they are very resistant. So there are trees, like the oldest tree in this forest were like 1400 years old, 1400 years old. And the fire, we thought it's very interesting. Like the fire actually helped them to survive because kills a fungi they have and make them last longer. So that's curious, right? So we never think as a wildfire as something that will benefit something, but it does benefit the redwood forest.
Okay.
So this is me showing off. Chumari. And this is me showing off Chumari again.
You did so well, Igor. We are dead impressed. What a strong man we have in the breeder community.
You see? And I'm not even drinking milk.
God, I'd hate to think what you'd do if you drank milk.
Yeah, so the right picture is a root of a tree. And we learned that red tree forests, usually they will grow in valleys because the root is very superficial, it's very shallow. So if you have a strong wind, the red tree will probably fall down. So you're going to have only big forests in valleys in which the mountains besides will protect from strong winds. So that's interesting as well. This is me milking again, as you guys can see. And this is a video. I want to show you guys this video. That's when we would wake up very early in the morning to bring the cows.
So what time are we looking at here? 5 o'clock or ghostly?
Here they are. Yep. I was trying to record more, but I felt I was kind of annoying Brittany, who was driving the truck, because I don't know, like, it just felt weird to be recording while she was like walking, but so I didn't record that much.
So what time was this? Do you remember?
Well, it was a little bit late. I think it was like maybe 6 a.m., something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
this is the...
Yep. Go ahead.
I'm just saying that Pete seems to have a sort of magical feel about it, because I haven't really seen you sort of smile and look that happy in the year or so that we've been talking to each other. Yeah. So I think there is a hidden meaning in this trip. Yeah. So you've gone to this family, you've explored small town America, and you're sort of thinking about the future, and the future looks a little bit different. Yeah. Now. Yeah.
Yeah. I think so. And also about change, because I asked to work kind of to live this experience of doing the same thing but being a different person.
Mm.
And I changed a lot. Like I realized that I was very immature. I had a lot of certainties in my head. I thought I had a lot of things figured out, and like those 10 years kind of taught me that actually I don't. So it was like closing a cycle. And being very, like, very kind of visual about the cycle, because I am the same place living the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was happy. Yeah, and I like the farm and the people a lot, because it always brings me to, like, it grounds me to know that there are people working very hard, like, to just, like, live. They don't want to buy things. They just want to live and be, like, in a regular life.
Mm.
So I always enjoy being there. That's the picture of the Thanksgiving. So we had friends, Beck's friends, for like neighbors. This is Becky. So those are the neighbors. They have like Mexican peanuts in the farm. So those they are very nice as well. Mari, me, and Pete. So yeah. I'm trying to find. Oh, here is Pete's milk.
I was going to. Oh, I was going to say the absence of alcohol, but there are a couple of Corona bottles next.
Yeah,
to
me and Mari.
Yeah,
the only ones.
So you were the only ones drinking alcohol, yeah?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
We have to represent. Yeah, we have a job to do to spread, the beer,
okay.
The beer word,
yeah.
Abroad. Yeah,
in good. So Mari is grinning from ear to ear, even though it might be just posing for this picture. But what was her takeaway from this experience?
She loved it, because that was the first time she had contact with this kind of ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And she really likes to talk to people. She's like a very she studies education, right? So she likes to figure out people and talk to everyone. Mm-hmm. And also was a time to relax, because she is currently very busy. It's the end of semester for her.
Yeah.
So it was a good time to relax. It was very silent, the farm. We had like a nice bedroom for us. So it was very relaxing and very enjoyable. Like, we didn't have any trouble. It was 4 days of pure joy, you know?
Mm.
So it was very good. And to finish, I like this quote. I use that a lot of times. Love is a verb, not a noun. It's from a book called The Road Less Traveled, which I really recommend. And I like this quote because, like, everything we did, like, from let me find it. Like from traveling all the way from buying a car here in Los Angeles, like it wasn't easy to do this, like for a lot of reasons. But I have this philosophy that like it's like love's act. So if you tell someone, that's my philosophy. I'm not saying that's the universal truth. But if someone tell me that someone loves me, but they don't do anything that is related to the love they have for me. So let's say someone tell they miss me, but they don't move a needle to actually visit me. Like for me, it's not love. For me, that's my philosophy. For me, love is a verb, it's an act, right? So if you love someone, you do acts of love. And I just think that's a good example in both, like from both directions, like from me to Becky's and from Becky's to me, because we both had to deal with a lot of bureaucratic stuff, like logistics to make this moment happen. And we did. So that's just something I would like to conclude. I think the world would be a better place that if people understand that you have to act. Like act is what moves things. It's not words or sending a WhatsApp message and think that you have done something, you know. So that's it. I don't, just let you guys know, I'm not rushing today. So if you guys want to talk, I don't have to finish here today. So, but that's the talk.
Absolutely fantastic to also be able to put some faces to the names after all this time. I have a slight head start because we talked about this back in February of this year. Really, thank you for sharing those pictures and the experience and the story and putting the whole thing into context. Yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity, by the way. Thank you, Ritesh and Ismar, for listening. Yeah, I hope you guys liked it. And thank you for being patient and listening.
Yeah, it was hard. It was a tough job. Yeah. Ismar, you have a question.
Excuse me, Igor, did you say that Imari has already finished her first semester at university?
Yes, she's about to finish it. Next week will be the last week for her.
The timing goes fast, isn't it?
Wow, very fast. And actually, I don't think I told you guys that, but we are going to Brazil in December. Like within 2 weeks, we are traveling to Brazil to spend Christmas and New Year's Eve over there.
Only you are here too?
I'm sorry?
Only you come or Mari is coming as well?
We are both going, yeah. She's going to be with her family and I'm going to be with mine. At some point, we're going to meet to visit friends, but we are going together.
Frankie, are you anxious to finish or...
Am a little anxious to finish, but not that much. But a question, because we can actually officially now say it's now 6 minutes past 7 p.m. over here. It's 10 o'clock or 10:30 in California, but Ritesh is already in Wednesday. Yeah. Is that correct?
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Yeah.
So we're still hanging around in Tuesday, and it's way after midnight for you, Ritesh. So I think we should wrap this up just so that Ritesh can get some shut-eye. Being an old-age pensioner, I have forgotten what I was... Oh, no, I remember. So you're going to Brazil. What about the dog? Is that coming?
We found a place... Yeah, we found a dog sitter, which is very nice, nearby. So we're going to live with her.
Okay. All right. Okay. Ritesh, I will give you the final word, and then I think we should wrap this up so that some of us can have dinner and some of us can go to sleep.
Yeah, I was just imagining things like, meeting new person and going back, the relationship, how you have built a wrap up with them, and they're inviting you once again, and you are willing to visit them. Because sometimes people have different experience. So really nice. And I just love this quote. Love is...
That's a good quote, right? Yeah.
I have to send few people to remind things.
So I think, Igor, you've set a benchmark here a little bit to to open the window to other people's worlds. So maybe we'll get a presentation of Bangalore at some point.
I would love to see.
That would be, that would be good. And of course, Campo Grande. And then, of course, we can show this part of the world as well. Okay, so next week, we will go back to the topic that we wanted to do last week, which is vintage voices, where Ismar and I will be on the chopping block and await the questions that you wish to ask. Isma said, when we talked about this, the two of us, he said, well, I am the pessimist, and Frank, you're the optimist. Yeah. So gives you a little bit of a head start on where we're going with this. And then, okay, you said in 2 weeks. So the 12th of December, will you still be in the States or will you be back in Brazil, Igor, or will you be around?
Yeah. We're gonna be in transition. Yeah, because we are going at 11th of December.
Okay.
And we're gonna arrive there at 12 at night. So we're gonna be at some airport probably.
Okay, and on the 19th.
Yeah, I will be around. I will be able to do the Zoom meeting.
You'll be able to do that? Okay. Yeah. So we might have to swap a few things around again because. We have a very interesting topic planned for the 12th, but it's sealed and under total secrecy. Yeah.
Okay.
we can move that back around a little bit. We'll have to juggle this. Okay, gentlemen. Okay. Thank you very much, Igor.
Thank you.
It was a fantastic show. We will all meet at respective times. Sweet dreams over in India, Ritesh. Yeah.
Thanks.
Have a good night. Yeah. Thank you for
we'll get you
around.
Some matches to keep your eyes open. Yeah.
By the way, we lost our World Cup and Australia won.
Yes, I know. Oh. I know. I was going to talk to you about this last week. You must be totally depressed that the Australians,
yes, never
us Aussies, this is where I'm an honorary Australian, us Aussies got you guys in cricket. Yeah?
We won all 10 matches except last one.
Oh.
We lost.
Yeah.
Man.
So revenge will be bittersweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, guys.
Gentlemen, take care.
Thank you, guys.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.